The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Dameshek. I hope all's well wherever you are. Welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program, available as always on iTunes, Stitcher, and NFL.com/Sheck.
S-H-E-K, Sheck, Sheck, Sheck.
Black Tie, how long have we done this show? 3 years now?
Yes, this is going into our third season.
I didn't know we called it by seasons. By football season.
Yeah, exactly. Going into the third football season, creeping up on 3 years.
And we've done 250-some shows thereabouts.
We've done 284.
Is this by name the best guest we've ever had on the show? Is that in terms of profile, star power, would you say?
We've had some big ones.
Like who? Who competes with this one?
We've got Russell Wilson. My main man, Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson's been in the league for 2 years.
We have Charles Barkley.
Okay, Chaz Barkley is a man of
We've
some prominence.
We've had Aaron Paul. No, Hugh Jackman is the winner, right?
Oh, yeah, Hugh Jackman.
He's,
you're right.
Yeah, he's.
And the conversation. Although, yep. I don't know if Hugh Jackman – yeah, I guess – is Hugh Jackman now a bigger star than Kevin Costner was in his day?
First of all, obviously, I'm the wrong person to ask if
yeah,
you were talking
about pre-94
stuff, you know.
Well, I don't want to. We're getting sidetracked.
Didn't watch The Bodyguard, but yeah, let's keep it going.
That's right. The one movie Black Tie seen of Kevin Costner's is The Bodyguard. Terrific. Yes, but in terms of football prowess, I think this guy is probably at the top of the list for us. We are going to be talking in a matter of minutes here. The phone's going to ring on the other side of the glass there. Black Tie will pick it up, and then we'll be talking with the quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Ben Roethlisberger. I make no bones about the fact that I'm born and raised on the banks of the Three Rivers, so you can understand that I'm enthused to kibitz with the guy who is going into his 11th season, I think is what. Yeah, it'll be his 11th season going in there in the AFC North there, and what figures to be a pretty compelling AFC North with the Bengals still ruling, but the Ravens just 1 year removed from their Super Bowl. Everybody's buzzing about the Cleveland Browns, and of course the Steelers have some very interesting young pieces in there.
Going into his 10th season, by the way.
No, that's definitely not true. It's either 11th or 12th. Right. 2004, so right. So
2004 is his first season, so 2014 will be his.
That's 10 years, so right. So yeah. This is 2014, so this is his 11th year. That's what it is. Either way, but we do know that in those 10 years, 2 Super Bowl rings, 3 Super Bowl appearances, unparalleled by anyone, including Brady, not in the last decade I'm talking about. I know Brady's early career outstrips Roethlisberger's, but otherwise, in the last decade, no one's got more pelts on the wall among quarterbacks than Ben Roethlisberger does. We'll talk about the 2014 season with him in just a second. Real quick, I wanted to give you an update, Black Tie, and everybody else online who has questioned me about it. The big auction draft that I'm in, I'll give you an update on that. The good news is I survived that. This is the league in which the previous year's champ gets to vote out someone of his choosing. I survived once again. I'll give you some more details on that later on. But it appears, by the looks of Black Tie behind the glass, the moment has arrived. It's big here in Studio 66. Maximum Strength!
I'll let you have this one since it's Big Ben. Keep going.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. He's on the line?
He is on the line.
Let's get to him, Ben Roethlisberger. All right. This is about as exciting as it gets here in Studio 66 for us. This is a guy who we've wanted to kibitz with for many moons now. He is the quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers, number 7, Ben Roethlisberger. How are you, man?
I'm doing well. How are you today?
Oh, I'm doing well. Listen, I'm over the moon. I'm speaking to you. I'm excited for the return of pro football, as I'm sure you are. Before we get into all that, though, real quick, you're a father of young kids just like me. How are you enjoying the kids' movies, the kids' TV shows, any of those that speak to you more than the other ones do?
I tell you what, it's fun. My son, who is almost 2 now, he loves like animals, so it's kind of a good thing I get to watch the Outdoor Channel and the Hunting Channel because he wants to see deer and all kinds of animals, so I can kind of kill two birds with one stone.
Yeah, that's not too bad. Like, maybe I see on the horizon some Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and some Iron Man and stuff like that coming.
Yeah, there's still those days with Sesame Street and, you know, Elmo and those kind of things. So.
Oh, no, the better stuff's on is coming for you right around the corner. All right, let's
talk.
I hate to you know, get off on an uncomfortable note, but I want to tell you something and just get your reaction to it. Last night I had my fantasy football draft. It was an auction thing where, you know, you bid for players. Ben Roethlisberger went for $2. Aaron Rodgers went for like 45, and Peyton Manning went for 60. To me, I feel like this is this speaks to an ongoing insult from Football America towards Ben Roethlisberger and the talent you've shown us now for more than a decade. How say you on this?
Yeah, it's one of those things. I, you know, never been a big fantasy guy. I don't put up the big numbers because I don't think you get points for just winning in fantasy, and that's all I try and do is just win.
Well, listen, and that's what you do. And to me, I've long made the case that, you know, when we see this list of the great quarterbacks in the NFL, you know who they are, Peyton and Brady and Breeze and Rodgers. I feel like, you know, the NFL Network here, we do a top 100 players list every year. And it's always with the colleagues, with my colleagues, a lot of people seem to understand. The guys inside the game always say Ben Roethlisberger certainly belongs on that list. But the more casual people seem to leave you off of it, put you at 5 behind those names I just said. Does that matter to you at all? Do you care about how you're perceived as a football player now and, you know, what your legacy is going to be?
You know what? It's really about what do the guys in this building think about me. And, you know, I think that and your peers, you know, the opponents, opposing defenses and players and coaches. And, you know, if they respect you, then that means you're a pretty good player. And I always figure that, you know, at some point when I retire, that hopefully they'll look back and say, man, we never gave him his enough credit and his dues, and he was a pretty good player. But until that day, I'm just going to keep doing what I got to do.
Do you believe, to me, something that distinguishes you from at least a couple of those names is, and which isn't to diminish any of their deeds, but you got the clutch gene. It's clear. Do you believe in clutch?
Well, I think, you know, I don't want to, you know, I got a clutch gene or whatever. I think it really just comes down to, and maybe that's what it is just the desire and the want to win. I'm sure everybody, you know, wants to win, but really, is everyone able to when it's all riding on it? And, you know, no one's able to do it every single time, certainly not me, but if you can do it more times than you haven't, then I feel like, you know, you thrive in that situation.
Are you, though, you know, the famous story, I guess, you know, for a two-minute drive in the history of football is Joe Montana saying to his teammates before they go down the field and beat the Bengals, hey, look, John Candy's out there in the crowd. Are you do you get in the huddle? Do you change your tone to the fellas, or are you very placid and try to, you know, instill some calm to everybody else?
You know what, I think it depends on the situation. I think certain situations you need to come in and kind of get everybody fired up and rah-rah, and certain situations you got to come in and kind of keep everybody cool and just focus. So I think it depends on what's called for at that time. I know that before Super Bowl 43, when we had that two-minute drive to win the game, I kind of tried to do something like that. You know, I said, hey, guys, I don't have a Joe Montana candy speech to give you guys. But let's just go do it. And then, of course, the first play we had a penalty, so I had to rethink my speeches before a big drive.
Boy, that ball you threw on first down replay, though, was about as good as – I mean, that drive obviously is the lead item on your Hall of Fame candidacy. But do you think – what is to you besides that drive, what stands out to you from your postseason deeds? I have my thoughts on what was the greatest postseason game you ever put out there. How about you?
Well, I think if you ask, you know, when it comes to being a quarterback, you don't want to be known for making a tackle. But I think if you ask Pittsburghers and Steeler fans, they're going to talk about a tackle that I made in Indy to help Bettis get a Super Bowl and get us to Super Bowl 40. But if I'm talking strictly quarterbacks, I think that whole, you know, my second year, that mm-hmm. playoffs, I think going to Denver in the championship game, and I had a really good first half, and you know, we – played really well, and I feel like that was one of my better games in the postseason.
I like the cut of your jib, Roethlisberger, because that's exactly the game that I point to. People say, oh, Ben didn't play the greatest, have the greatest Super Bowl. But I always point out, look at what he did in Indy and look what he did in Denver. You, that's exactly the one I point to. That first half that you put together in Denver is, you know, third down and long strikes all through that first half won that game.
Yep.
So, all right, so we park our cars in the same garage on that one. What about this? And by the way, as you mentioned, that tackle you made, let's see Peyton make that tackle, right? No chance. He couldn't do that. You beat him in a foot race any day.
Yeah.
Who is – let's talk about QBs, though. Who's the most handsome QB in the NFL?
The most handsome?
Yeah.
I don't really look at quarterbacks and say who's the most handsome.
All right. Well, is it Tom Brady? Is it Cam Newton?
Well, I guess if you probably take a poll of people, I think a lot of them would say Brady, I think.
I think that's the right answer.
You ask my wife, I think I might win the handsomest in the quarterback, too.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, that's fair. What do you make, though, of, you know, all the buzz this offseason has been about Johnny Manziel, and then a lot of people are comparing you to Blake Bortles. To me, he really does seem like Ben Roethlisberger incarnate, Blake Bortles, the way he moves around, the way he slings it and everything. Do you enjoy watching these young guys? Do you have your eye on anybody who sort of stands out to you and says that looks like a younger me?
Yeah, I think it's Blake. I got a chance to work out with him before he got drafted. Kind of kept an eye on him even, you know, at UCF because he did remind me a lot of myself. And so big guy moves around, and it's fun to watch him play, and I love the early success that he's had. I think that, you know, obviously all the word down there is they're going to, you know, not play him early on, and, you know, it's not always a bad thing. So I think if he, you know, stays healthy, and it's just fun to watch him play when it's going to be his time.
Do you feel like you sort of started this wave in the 21st century of quarterbacks? I know, obviously, Tommy Maddox started the season in your rookie year, but by week two, you get in there because of the injury and don't look back. But do you feel like that NFL teams now look at, hey, we can put a rookie in there, and he can get the job done because, in part, at least, of what you did in your rookie year?
I'd like to think so. I mean, people don't quite talk about my rookie year when they talk about, you know, the rookie, not all the time as the great rookie, you know, seasons, because it wasn't a big flashy numbers type year, you know, but it was a win. All we did is win, and I was blessed to have a great team around me, and I think that's key for any of these young quarterbacks that are going to get put into the position at the start. If they have a good team around them, it really helps kind of ease them into it.
Do you think, though, at all specifically, you talk about the Browns coming to town in just a matter of days here, any intrigue as a fan or as, you know, the guy going up against that Browns team? Man, I wish we would have seen Johnny Football here. I mean, I guess there's still a few days. Could that change? But is there from, you know, a guy who's been in the league for so long, the buzz around this Johnny Football is humongous.
It is, and you know, you see it every year. I mean, you get – I don't think I've ever seen anything this big, but every year you always get these quarterbacks, whether it was Newton or RG3, Russell Wilson, Andrew Luck. You know, the young quarterbacks come in, they all generate a lot of buzz because they were great college football players. You know, they're usually high draft picks. They're flash. You know, and people are really excited about, you know, the quarterback position and these big-name guys. So they get a lot of pub and a lot of hype early, and the big thing for me is just making sure that guys – can live up to it. I think guys are going to get pub early, and they may have some failures their second year, but it doesn't mean they're going to be a failed quarterback. So, you know, Johnny's getting a lot of pub right now, like I said, more than anybody I've seen, and who knows when we'll even see him on the field.
Hmm.
So he's got a lot of pub to live up to, and it's going to be hard for him to do it not on the field.
Well, I know, listen, you have to worry about the Cleveland Browns defense, which does look good, so I'll let you go. I want you to go study up for those guys. Like I say, it's just around the bend here. We appreciate the time, Ben, and last thing is, you must be like a kid in the candy store. Mike Munchak, I really feel like I wonder if you agree that position, the offensive line, is now a position of strength for you guys, plus Dree Archer, plus Marcus Wheaton. Is this? Are we looking forward to a big year from this Steelers offense then?
I really hope so. We are excited about Coach Munch and the drafted guys you talked about, free agents we signed, even second-year guys. So really excited about this year, and you know, the key to every year is staying healthy.
Yep, I hear you, Ben Roethlisberger, and a good place to start is with number 7 under center for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Go get him in 2014, like you say. Have a healthy 2014, and the same goes to the rest of the guys out there, our pal Ike Taylor and the rest. And thanks for the time, number 7. Hope we can talk maybe in early February on press day in Arizona. How about that?
Sounds good. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Have appreciate a good day. It, man. You too.
Oh, yeah. You're listening to Dave Damashek.
There he goes. And I have to give a shout out to the Steelers PR guy, Bert Lawton, a Pittsburgher. He lives and dies with those, not just the Steelers, but the Pirates and everybody else. I know this because I have been kibitzing with him over the months, nay, years, talking about the Steelers. And, of course, you know, we get access to Ike Taylor and formerly Ryan Clark and Lamar Woodley and all those guys. But this, of course, the brass ring for us in Studio 66. Maximum strength, a high watermark. We talked to Ben Roethlisberger, so good stuff. Black tie, and what were your thoughts?
Studio 66.
All right. What did you think of him? What did you think of the
good
man?
I thought he was a good interview. Actually, good interview. I don't think he was fond of the most handsome NFL QB question.
Well,
I think
no,
that threw
a lot
him off
of NFLers
guard.
Don't like that question, yeah. But you know what? That's why. I'm not here to you know.
Hard facts. So you're hard in an interview.
That's what it's about. You know, yeah. You know what? I love when interviewers say, "Hey, I'd lose my job if I don't ask this question." You know, kind of thing. And that's, you know, asking who's the most handsome quarterback is one of those kind of questions. I'd lose my job if I didn't ask that question.
Yeah. I do think he was really good on Blake Bortles. You know, how we have a lot of quarterback archetypes. We have the Peyton Mannings. We have Michael Vick, who's like a generation of speedy, athletic quarterbacks. You have the Big Ben types. You're always wondering who's the next Big Ben. So his stuff on Bortles was pretty good.
Yeah, and, you know, he's respectful, of course. You're never going to get these guys to say boo about why they're better than Peyton Manning or Aaron Rodgers or Drew Brees. Are not going to weigh in on that subject, but I did find it fascinating talking about the clutch gene. You would think, like, oh, when the game's on the line, here's what goes through my head. Interesting to hear that he adapts to what the environment presents to him. So anyway, good stuff there, and interesting stuff as well. You could hear it in his voice a little bit, the intrigue about Johnny Football, the fact that it would appear that we're going to see Brian Hoyer. And either way, the Cleveland Browns have been about as buzzed about an NFL team as there's been in the offseason here. So who better to join us than one of the scribes, always with the mirth he brings on the page as well as on the very fine Around the League podcast from NFL.com/Around the League, or is it Around the NFL? Let's clarify that right now with him. It's Mark Sessler. How are we, fella?
It pleases you to bring me on minutes after the quarterback who really ruined my middle adulthood.
Mark Sessler, he is the resident Cleveland Browns fan here. It is sad. This is a pretty interesting – we sit across from one another by about 6 feet here, but we couldn't be further apart in terms of what we've gotten out of our respective football fandoms. I live on the right side of the Ohio-Pennsylvania border, and or used to, at least. That's where I was reared, and I grew up a Steelers fan. You, just 2 hours drive away, couldn't be more different, in Cleveland. So what do you think now? 2014, it looks like it's Hoyer. Let's start there. Let's get you on record here. Right move or wrong?
For me, the wrong move.
Agree with that.
I do understand that there's probably concern. It does seem that he didn't grasp the playbook, and there's players, veterans on the team that came out saying, listen, we've had to complete the play for Manziel in the huddle at times. That's concerning. That also tells me, did you do enough to coach this guy up? I don't know. It's also Manziel. Did he prepare enough? But you got Dick LeBeau. You've got Pittsburgh week one in Pittsburgh. I think they just felt Hoyer he's not Big Ben, but he's safer to us. We feel he's got the practice and the preparation. He won't last long.
It's interesting because this is something obviously we've talked about for now 3 or 4 months, that even back at the draft, I said, oh, come on, Johnny Football's obviously going to start. Blake Bortles obviously isn't the third overall pick. And to play backup to Chad Henne, the list goes on and on. But it seems like that's exactly how it's going to go. All these rookie quarterbacks are going to start the season on the bench. And, you know, to me, the one that stands out, though, is Brian Hoyer, because they're not doing him any favors, I feel like. They're really setting him up to not be a villain, but yet your heart goes out to him. But really, I guess he could go into Heinz Field and pull off a victory, but the likelihood that going at Pittsburgh and then at home against the Saints is two losses. If they lose to Pittsburgh, let's say, then they go home to play the Saints, and Brian Hoyer throws a bad pick early, the Boo Birds are going to be vicious for him. They're going to want Johnny Football. I feel like Brian Hoyer's is in a bad spot.
I think you're right, and they wanted to probably prevent the reverse dynamic, which
put
Manziel in there and have him. Everyone realize he's not ready for prime time. The issue I have a little bit, because the offseason mythology surrounding Cleveland is that suddenly they're a team that might pose a wild card threat. That's how it seemed months ago. Where are they weak? They have no weaknesses. We're going to hit people with the running game, and we've got this Mike Pettine defense. Then the games start, and from what we've seen, well, wait a minute, you have no right tackle because both Manziel and Hoyer were under duress nonstop, and neither of them will be effective that way. Your running game looks average at best, and you have no wide receivers, and your defense is learning a new scheme and looked awful, by the way, in the last preseason game. So a little concerned on all fronts.
Well, I do think Mike Pettine is probably cagey enough not to reveal exactly, I mean, like all these head coaches. I don't get too overwrought about a preseason game if a guy, I mean, based on how the defense performs or how the offense, but individuals can stand out and look downright crummy. What's your concern level about Johnny Football and Brian Hoyer? To me, Brian Hoyer just cuts the figure of a guy who is a backup. He's not to hold him to a standard of, is he better than Johnny Football, is ridiculous. Clearly, he does not have the skill set that Johnny Football or any other highly pedigreed QB has, or else he would have been drafted at some point.
Yeah, I think
what's your concern, first of all, about Hoyer?
Well, I think the dynamic is that he is a guy who grew up in Cleveland. He played his early football there in high school and stuff. People love that about him. He's a hardworking guy, and he's a good teammate. So it's not a personal thing about him, but he is an average quarterback who got pumped up because of what, you know, it's so bad in Cleveland at the quarterback position that when a guy comes in, he is the only starter to have a winning record in Cleveland right now, because he is essentially 2-0. He didn't barely played that third game. No other quarterback since 99 is a winning record. So he's elevated beyond what he is. That's bad for him, because what he is what we've seen. You're talking about individual performances. He's not good under pressure. He has an average arm, and he's a rookie himself. This is not a veteran. They pumped him up as this guy.
As I say,
he's
played 250 minutes roughly of meaningful pro football.
I like the idea of him, but on field, it's not going to last for long.
What do you think? Be honest. All the stuff, the pictures in Vegas, the dollar bill thing, the performance, the relatively good performance in St. Louis, then the apparent regression. All the stuff you've heard. Doesn't know the playbook exactly. Concern level, late August 2014. Let's get it on record now. Sort of like a year ago, we tried to get everybody on record. Is Chip Kelly's offense going to be revolutionary or a bust? I love Heath Evans. He said bust. Akbar Bajabiamila said that the Eagles will soar. Bajabiamila, right. Let's get Sessler on the record now. Closer to home, because you're a Browns guy. Concern about Manziel or enthusiasm? Where are we?
Enthusiasm, and I'll tell you why. Because all the stuff, the collage of nonsense in the offseason, a little bit concerning at some point, but I feel like he's worked really hard. There's been no real diversion away from the chatter that this guy comes to practice, he comes to play, he cares about football. And I'm starting what I saw against the Rams, and it's hard to really pick it apart because of what was going on with that offense. He looked a little more comfortable, and I think that comfort is going to increase more and more. You need Manziel to just be out there and to be the gambler. To be the guy who just, when the play breaks down, that's when he starts to become who he is. That's who they drafted. There's no reason at this point to write him off. They've not even given him a real chance in a regular season game on any level to show what he can do. I'm excited for what he can become if he's coached well.
All right. Again, it's still just late August. I'm on record. Blake Bortles, Derek Carr, the two best quarterbacks 10 years from now, we'll look back and say, well, obviously those are the two studs from that 2014 draft. Do you right now, if you could trade Johnny Manziel for any of those guys, would you?
I would trade him for Blake Bortles.
Yeah.
Derek Carr, no. Bortles?
Bridgewater, you could go with.
I really like Manziel, but I do think that what we've seen of Bortles looks legitimate. He looks unusually ahead of his time in terms of where he's at as a rookie. Every game he's outshined Henny. He did in 86 seconds what it took 28 minutes for Henny to do on offense. He's that kind of guy. He does have that kind of Big Ben feel to him. I know that's overcooked at this point, but it's there.
Well, Roethlisberger just said it himself. It's one thing for us to sort of observe and make those. I don't think it's too simplistic, you know, to do that. Certain guys, people reach for that. I thought Joe Theismann sounded, frankly, pretty foolish comparing. I can't even think of the receiver's name. A white receiver to he's a Wes Welker, Julian Edelman, Danny Amendola type. What are you insinuating there, Joe? I don't know what you're getting at there. But clearly,
Jordan Shipley.
I was Jordan Shipley, yeah. I mean, the idea that, but Roethlisberger, I mean, even in their face, they're unnaturally mature looking. I mean, physically, Bortles and Roethlisberger, when they were both 22, look like they're 36-year-old men. I don't know what – there's certain guys who have that Greg Oden effect, I guess. but they move the same. They you know, Bortles is probably a little faster, not as sturdy, but, you know, the whip is pretty much the same. Anyway,
let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Right now, because of where Big Ben is at in his career, would you trade Big Ben for Bortles? Pittsburgh Steelers have Bortles for however long.
What an interesting question. I love it. Well, I mean, what a crazy question. That's really hard to do the math on. I guess I hate to say it because we just hung up with him, but yeah, I guess I'd have to. One guy's in his 11th year, the other guy's in one. That's pretty simple math, actually, right?
I like it.
Doesn't that make sense?
You're a GM who swings for the fences.
That's swinging for the fences? A guy who they're going to be into for $15 or $20 million in a year from now?
I don't disagree, but I do feel bad he was on this show roughly 9 minutes ago.
Set me up, Sessler. I don't like that. Who wins week one in Heinz Field? What's going
to
happen?
I think it was 3 or 4 months ago or right after the draft when I told you 40-7 Cleveland. And with each week, that's been incrementally rougher for Cleveland, getting closer and closer. I think the last I said was 10-9 Cleveland.
Yes, that's what you told me just last week. This is the official and final pick. No more change. Well, although I will say, it's Tuesday morning as we record this, and so Josh Gordon's suspension or the judgment is imminent, apparently. So we don't know that, but I think we can assume he's not going to be available for week one. Yeah. Now proceed.
Well, and we also don't know that Manziel – if something happens where Manziel starts, I want to talk to you again about this, but let's forget all that.
Well, how would that happen?
It's possible.
I agree. What if Manziel goes out and plays great this weekend? Then what are you going to do? It's really hanging Brian Hoyer out to dry.
It can happen.
Proceed.
21-3 Pittsburgh.
Oh, my – what happened?
Those predictions
for
those
4 months you've been walking up to me and announcing what the final score is going to be.
But in now the last 3 weeks,
now it's not just a victory for the Steelers; it's a whipping. They don't even score the Browns.
This has not played out the way I thought it would. In the last 3 weeks, I've actually seen the Browns play, and I am concerned. 21-3, and they're
the Steelers,
lucky.
Did you see the Steelers play the Eagles?
That
wasn't too
pretty
either.
That doesn't concern me. 21-3. It's in Pittsburgh. I am concerned.
Who's winning that division?
Pittsburgh is winning.
Is that right? Wow.
Every ATLer picked Pittsburgh because I think they've gotten where Warren Sapp called them.
Every ATNer.
ATNer, correct.
I'm sorry. So that is correct, by the way.
No,
black
we do
tie.
Not say ATNer. We're not. It's
what
convoluted.
I mean, if you're going to do that.
I know.
Around
but
the ATNer.
ATNer doesn't sound good. That's
no,
not,
it does not. And we're not going down that road.
No,
from
indeed.
From what I've been told.
So ATNer out.
ATNer out.
ATNFLer.
We are
clunky
around the NFLers.
ATL, though, to be honest, now that it's in the rearview mirror, ATL always was confusing. It seems like you're talking about the Falcons.
We had tons of people from Georgia that immediately latched on to the Twitter account because of that dynamic, and were very disappointed that the Falcons consumed maybe 1/50th of the conversation.
All right, Sessler. So you say, and will there be a second playoff team out of that?
I went with Cincinnati. I think people don't like the idea of them going 4 years in a row, but they're very talented. I think that Hugh Jackson is the difference maker there.
All right, good stuff, Sessler. And, oh, last thing, you mentioned Manziel. If Manziel does not start, of course, anyone who listens to the Around the League / Around the NFL podcast knows
not
about
slash.
This.
officially around the NFL podcast.
You do that.
There's like a shame and check report, Dave. You always add the slash.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, for those tweeting me about it, of course the check report is slash shame report will be back. It's a matter of days. It's coming back. By the way, was that a problem, Black Tie, to mention?
No, it's not. I'm just saying.
It's one of my prizes.
You got to learn how to say goodbye, you know, to the old
days. Don't need to say it. I don't need to figure out anything. And I'll tell you this. We have a new NFL coming up, too, coming in a matter of days, too.
Robust.
Oh, it's a wonderful time of the year. It's the footballiest time of the year. But Chris Wessling, along with me, said, oh, yeah, of course Johnny Football is going to start the season. He went not one step further. He went a gigantic leap further by saying that he'll eat his softball pants if Johnny Manziel doesn't. Are you guys planning? Black Tie, you're the producer. You got to get a celebrity chef. Get Bobby Flay out here to, like, cook up the pants. Make a big event out of it. Try to make them as palatable as is humanly possible. Is that what you're doing?
Well, I'm sort of.
Or maybe have three
it.
Listeners come in and do like a contest. Like, you're what's that show,
it.
Chopped? You have three people prepare the pants different ways?
Like that?
Oh, we came up with the idea of, you know, the soup station. You know, that could be
cream
something.
Of Wessling's pants. Yeah. I don't.
The Damsek Soup Station. Cecily, have you been to the Damsek Soup Station?
Been there. I've never ordered soup at the workplace here, but I may have to switch that up now that it's under your control.
And I made this announcement on the last podcast. I'll do it again. Please bear with me if you are not an NFL media employee. But Wednesdays are free soup Wednesday. The first person, the first colleague to approach me and say, "What's the soup, fella?" gets a free bowl of soup, courtesy of the Dave Damashek Soup Station.
This is very true. And Dave actually yesterday was – today's taping on Tuesday. So Monday he actually was working at Soup Station. You know,
that's right.
New like addition this. To the family. He's got some kids to feed.
I was
so
like that lady in the Depression era videos, or film that you see with a ladle in each hand, just spooning it out. The traffic was coming fast and furious. No time for pleasantries. Just get put your bowl out. I'm going to ladle it in. Next. Both sides coming at me.
Just that's, about sustenance.
Sales
at this point.
Have been through the roof. We're positively thrilled. They've outstripped even our wildest, most optimistic dreams.
Does the huddle even know this is happening? That's the name of the
That's not important. The cafeteria, do they know that there's a sign?
I don't know. You've taken over a part of the operation. Are they aware?
Well, it is run, in fact. It's catered by Wolfgang Puck is the one who's in charge of that. Sometime me and Puck got to put our heads together and cook up some stuff. Maybe Puck's the guy to cook up Wessling's pants.
I like this. We are concerned about Chris's safety, because if you're going to go eat 45 to 50 yards of fabric or whatever makes up a pant.
I don't think it's 40
it's
or 50
probably
yards.
Not that much. But it's enough to disrupt his.
How heavy set is he?
It's not that much. That's not fair. But even one leg of pant would potentially sidetrack Wessling for at least the full season. So we're not into that happening either.
I'm hoping it's not lethal, but part of me is hoping at least that he does have to sit out the next month.
Well, we have to be prepared for that.
You have to put him on the IR. I don't know. Is that a non-football injury?
That would be NFI.
I think it is a football-related injury. It is a football issue, obviously, that led to him eating pants. Yeah, that's true. Softball makes it murky.
It's a softball issue.
Anyway, Cecily, go back down, because the football news doesn't stop. It doesn't wait for you or any other man. And go back down there and say hello to all your around the NFL pals. Dan Hanzus, our great pal. A father now, with his new newborn, Wessling about to eat pants. Greg Rosenthal joining me, Black Tie, Akbar Bajabiamila, Matt Money Smith. Who else? Coach Brian Billick. We're doing
Daniel
a big
Jeremiah.
Blowout NFL season preview. It'll be on NFL.com and I think NFL Now. I'm not sure. The podcast, we're going to do a big blowout. It's like in The Godfather, you know, when all the families get together, the heads of all the families get together. That's what it's going to be. So be on the lookout for all that. Meantime,
the podcast, Big Boys Table.
I can't wait. So 21-3 Steelers at home.
See, that's the best. That's as positive as I can get. Thank you for having me on.
No points. They're not going to score a touchdown in their first game.
A field goal is how Cleveland gets it done.
Congratulations. There he goes, the great Mark Sessler. And follow him at Mark Sessler NFL. He keeps that NFL in there. Why? because he feels he needs that validation. Let him have it. If it gives him, makes him feel better about himself to have NFL at the back end of it, so be it. That's his business. Lastly, real quick, black tie. I wanted to catch everybody up on something because, of course, everybody loves, just like hearing about your round of golf. People love hearing who you got on your fantasy team. I had the big – the one. This legitimately, though, people do tweet me about the big auction
league. Why is that, by the way? Why do people –
because there are celebrities in it.
Because
Bill Simmons and John Hammer in it.
Not just that, but I guess not your fancy name-dropping league. But why do people insist on letting people know the scores of the golf round in fantasy teams? No one cares.
I know.
Why do people insist on
because,
letting
people know? Because I'll tell you why. Because it's counterintuitive. Because it's something that is within the – obviously, if you don't play golf or fantasy football, then who cares? But if I meet you and you say, oh, yeah, I'm a big golfer or I'm a big fantasy football guy, then that is the conversation. So
yeah.
It makes sense the same as anything else. Oh, I'm a big NFL fan. Oh, is that right? What's your team? Oh, my team's the Bengals. Oh, well, mine's the Jaguars. Oh, let's connect about our various the trajectory of our two teams. Fantasy football is not a universal conversation. The game is universal, but then the specifics are not. My old man does all, like, hey, you know how number four, how a dog legs to the left? They're like, yeah, I know what it looks like, but I don't need you to tell me what happened on those particular shots on that particular day. Same thing with fantasy football. That said, I'm talking about it, and shame the devil if you don't care or turn it off right now. I'm in the league. It's been going now, I think, 15 years or thereabouts. As you may or may not know, we do each season, the previous year's champion gets to Survivor style, kick out an owner of his choosing, and it's done the night of the draft. You can't do it in advance. You get there, everybody's there, and once everybody's there, has done their research, so on and so forth, only then do they announce that guy's out of the league. Well, the Dutch Mook, Paul Kohorst, was the last year's champion. He, for the second time in 3 years, voted out Randy, who you may have seen a video on Grantland a while back between Simmons and Ham showing the video of Randy's reaction to be kicked out. You can find that online, I'm sure. Randy got the boot again. Then we did our auction, and let me just tell you, so John Ham survived, Cousin Sal, Simmons, our pal Kevin Hench, who you know from past references, and so on, and the rest of the characters were there. Tell me what you think, Black Tie. Just real quick, 10-team league,
mm-hmm.
auction, $200 salary cap, and so here's what I did. The good news is, Black Tie, here are the good parts of the Cool Cats, spelled with two K's, 2014. Shady McCoy,
good.
Le'Veon Bell,
good.
Bishop Sankey. That's a nice trio of running backs.
I was
there's no one who
Bishop
could beat
Sankey.
That.
Remember when he came in offseason?
I liked him very much.
To him. I was high on him too, and he seemed like a guy who was focused, and I still think he's going to be that. However, there's a lot of talk coming out about how he's not the main guy that most people are expecting.
I know.
Sean Green might be the starting RB. McCluster might be in a Danny Woodhead type role. So Sankey is a guy who might come on maybe with an injury or two.
I hear
you. But
when
he does, I'll be there to pick
him up. Sankey, come on, over Sean Green. But yeah, but Lev Bell, Shady, that's pretty good. I got Jimmy Graham, $44, a steep price, but he is the preeminent pass.
You know me and my tight ends. I'm all about those tight ends.
So I got Jimmy Graham. Mm-hmm. So that's a good point. I got Vincent Jackson is my number one receiver. After that, though, here's question number one about the Cool Cats 2014.
Vincent Jackson, as you know, my only receiver is question number one to me, but keep going.
He's not A.J. Green or Calvin Johnson or Dez Bryant, that's for sure, or Brandon Marshall. Then I go, but then after that, Torrey Smith, and I think my third receiver is going to be Kelvin Benjamin of the Carolina Panthers.
That's actually not that terrible.
Really?
You know, he has we spoke on the Around the NFL podcast on Monday. He has a good catch radius, which is good playing with, Cam Newton,
sure.
who throws the ball a little bit wild every now and then. He seems like a gamer. Big body, not the fastest guy, but.
Here's the other question mark. Jay Cutler is my quarterback.
Ooh,
what do you think of
that is a huge question mark.
I love
huge.
That offense. And if he can just stay healthy, how can he not be productive? And then my number two quarterback, Andy Dalton. What do you think of that?
My number one goal was to work on my body language.
That is Brandon Marshall. Jay Cutler is one of Jay Cutler's many wide That's receiver right. options. I'm just not big on Jay Cutler. Not just his body language, but he's a guy who can be careless. I don't know if you watched the Seahawks game, the Seahawks preseason game, and that one pick was, I'm not sure if it was a pick six. It wasn't a pick six. Interception in the red zone. That is so Jay Cutler. You know, mistimed the snap, gets it, and just still throws it just because he has an arm and thinks he can make every throw.
It's you
Get
know what?
Yourself a new quarterback.
I told you I got Andy Dalton. I think that they're similar. They couldn't be more dissimilar in a lot of ways, obviously arm strength and so on. But Cutler and Dalton share this, and this is why I was happy to go with both of them. How could either one of those guys not be super productive in those offenses? With the stuff, good offensive line, great pass catchers, dynamic playmakers. I would put up, if I were a fantasy quarterback, I'd put up 15 points. All you have to do is toss the ball off to everybody. I mean, all you feed all these playmakers. How bad could Jay Cutler, Andy Dalton be to not be good fantasy guys?
I think those guys will put up around 17, 18 points because I think this is a year people jump off that bandwagon because people expect them to step up because of the weapons they have. But again, even just be fantasy, like you want to have a quarterback that you're excited and watching. I'm not excited to watch Jay Cutler. I'm not excited, definitely not excited to watch Andy Dalton. So that's a really pretty weird strategy by you.
I know. Neither one of them runs. Oh, but I will say this: at the back end, when you have an extra dollar or so, I put $1 and got Blake Bortles. So who knows? Maybe maybe by the end of the season he'll be starting for the Cool Cats as well as the Jags. Either way, great stuff from Ben Roethlisberger, a great time kibitzing with him. I thought he was, you know, a lot of those quarterbacks, we complain about it a lot. And obviously, Roethlisberger is fairly measured, as most NFL QBs are. But I thought he was more insightful about some things. You know, everybody's great and I'm not going to talk about anything.
He was good. Yeah, we did miss out, obviously, with time constraints on two very fun questions, I think, or two good questions. Obviously, Emmanuel Sanders saying, you know, Peyton Manning is a better leader than Big Ben. And I know Big Ben has already responded to that. But like you said, he was open. Maybe he would have given us more of a response on this on our show. Also,
I wanted to be nice to I'm sure people will say, oh, he's your guy and you didn't ask him hard questions. Listen, he's an NFL quarterback, and if you have watched or listened to us talk to Russell Wilson, and this isn't diminishing any of these guys, but, you know, like Peyton Manning, all these guys are so measured, they're not going to give an answer. For me to waste time asking questions that they're not going to answer, hey, do you think the Jags should start Blake Bortles? He wouldn't answer that. He's not going to say anything about that. Hey, do you think you're better than Peyton Manning? He's not going to respond to that. Oh, I have great respect for these guys. That's what they say.
The other question, though, which is definitely more fun that I wish we had time to ask, was, hey, you beat Ike Taylor in the offseason trainer, you know, one-on-one free throw contest.
I wanted to bring that up to him.
If Big Ben could take you on, if he could take Ike Taylor on, and then if he could take you on, and let's, you know, book that match for next offseason.
That's very interesting. I like where your head's at. Yeah, I would like to take Big Ben. Maybe it'll be after the Steelers return to the playoffs and maybe to Arizona. You know, there's a lot of free time Super Bowl week, and maybe in Arizona the weather will be good, maybe on like Tuesday or Wednesday before the Super Bowl. Me, Ike, and Big Ben can go out and have a free throw shooting contest.
I can't figure out if he cuts the figure of a Pau Gasol, Kevin Love, or Andres Nocioni type hoops player. One of those three.
Well, you got to figure he's 6'4"-ish. I bet you he was big, you know, even in high school. I mean, he must have played center, you know. You're right. Gasol is probably the best comparison.
Yeah. Good passer.
Anyway, thanks again to Bert Lawton from the Steelers for hooking us up with Roethlisberger, and great stuff from Mark Sessler. Make sure you check out the Around the NFL podcast, and, of course, the page is there on Around the NFL at NFL.com. We'll be back with another podcast.
Just once again, a plug for the podcast preview show we're doing. It's going to be a video show, which might also be an audio podcast if you're trying to figure it out, but it's going to be five different videos promoting, but previewing the season through the eyes of every one of our podcasts.
All right, good stuff, Black Tie, and like I say, we'll be back with more Huey and Applesauce getting you ready for kickoff. Meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.